A few years back, Sally Coslow thought her mothering years were over. Her two 20-something sons were launched into the wider world, and she was getting used to the empty nest. Then, suddenly and unexpectedly, they both landed back home. Coslow was startled and depressed to learn they were part of a much larger trend. The Pew Research Center finds a fifth of young adults aged 25 to 34 live in multi-generational households. The rotten economy is one big reason, but social norms are also shifting. Coslow explores what's changed and how to make the best of cohabitating with your adult kids in her new book, Slouching Toward Adulthood, Observations from the Not-So-Empty Nest. We'd like to hear from you, parents and grads, if your roommates once again, what are the new rules? 800-989-8255 is our number. Our email address is talk@npr.org, and you can join the conversation at our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. Sally Coslow joins us from our bureau in New York. Her latest book is Slouching Toward Adulthood, Observations from the Not-So-Empty Nest. And Sally Coslow, welcome.
Hi there.
So tell us more about the situation you found yourself in that led you to delve into this issue.
One of my sons graduated from college on the East Coast and went immediately to the West Coast, and that was very dandy. A few years passed. He was 25. His company decided to establish a branch on the East Coast, and he picked him to head it up, so he returned, and we expected the stay to last about 2 months, but two planes flew into the World Trade Center, and after that, many businesses did not establish new headquarters in New York. His was one of them. So he started living off unemployment. He was still in his old bedroom, and that particular stay extended itself. And we got wind of the fact that he'd actually been offered a job, but it wasn't the perfect job, and he was thinking he would pass it up. And in one shout short of an intervention, we strongly urged him to take the job. And afterwards, I started noticing how common this pattern was, that academic and social arrhythmia starts in college for people in their 20s, melting into the 30s.
Social arrhythmia?
Yes, very much. It's a very different picture than when baby boomer parents were the same age.
Sorry, what is social arrhythmia?
Well, I'm thinking social patterns are really very different now than the mothers and fathers who, let's say, are in their 50s or 60s were in their 20s. We had our summer of love, but most people settled down rather young and started families reasonably young. And there's an entirely different picture now. It's really,
yes,
it's a point of pride, actually, for many people in their 20s to not be an adult and to not rush to make decisions and to extend the climate of freedom that we see in college well into the 20s and sometimes into the 30s. And sometimes kids wind up at home.
Well, you set off to explore, I mean, it what sounded like reading your book to kind of figure out what's wrong with these kids and kind of ended up looking at yourself.
Yes, very. I'm not necessarily blaming anybody, but if there's blame, much of it can squarely sit in the shoulders of people like me and other baby boomer parents who tried to create lives for their children that offered their kids only the best and sent the message that only the best would be acceptable. And these kids slammed into an economy where many, many people are unemployed. Many people are carrying enormous amounts of student debt. The new entry-level job is very often the unpaid internship. There are probably 6 to 8 people clambering for every job that goes available in the United States. It's really a difficult picture. But parents have really helped their kids into believing that they were perfect little snowflakes who would be able to wait for the right thing to come along. And some of the young people are waiting and waiting and waiting. And in the meantime, time's not standing still. And opportunities are passing them by.
You talk about your frustration, you know, one morning your darling is sleeping in till I don't know what hour and living kind of like a college dorm life without many morning classes in your house. And you're really frustrated.
Yes, it's very hard to change the rules. That's unfortunately when people when young people come back at or never leave at 22 or 24 or 29, there is a tendency for parents to treat them the way that they treated them when they were teenagers instead of establishing new boundaries. And it's not a pretty picture.
All right, let's get some callers on the line here. Andrew is in Nashville. Hi there, Andrew.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So what are your new rules?
So I recently moved back in with my parents, and I think that, contrary to the last time I was living at home, high school, the rules have changed somewhat. You know, I don't sleep to ungodly hours of the morning, but I'm much more respectful of their space if I have something that I think could even remotely impinge on their lifestyle. It's definitely something that I bring to their attention, and I'm open to taking no for an answer. But one of the interesting things that I think has come from the discussion and just the living arrangement is that, you know, my parents for a long time painted the picture as if they had a much easier time finding meaningful work and gainful employment and so on and so forth. But they never really advertised the fact that they had a lot of help, whether it was a financial loan from their parents or an extra, you know, condo that they owned or so on. So while that's not my specific case scenario, I do have the leg up of living with them and saving money. And I think we've made that relationship positive for both of us. And obviously it's a means to an end, but I can definitely identify with the awkwardness that exists moving back in with your parents and having that be your answer when you're out at dinner or a bar or a work function and having someone ask what you're doing for a living, and you say that you're living with your parents.
It's not so common now that there's no stigma anymore?
You know, it's not something that I'm uncomfortable with. I'm comfortable with where I'm at. I'm ambitious. I want to get out of the house and also go back to school. And it's something that I'm proud to have a family that supports me enough to be able to create this opportunity for me when I'm in a bind.
Andrew, you mentioned a discussion. Did you and your parents sit down when you moved back in and really talk about how things would be, or did it just sort of happen?
I had a several month window where I knew that I was going to be living with them. So the conversation was kind of ongoing. It wasn't now you're home, let's have this conversation. As things come up, they're addressed. And I think that that's important. You know, I heard your guest speak about how, it's hard to not treat them as a child anymore, but I guarantee you that the son is not thinking of himself as a child. And I think that in order to compromise on boundaries and agreements on how the living space should work, that's imperative for all parties to acknowledge that they think of themselves as independents, and I think that's the biggest difference.
All right, Ian, thanks so much for the call.
Sure.
Take care. And let's get one more here on the line. Hang on here. I'm having trouble with the... There we are. Susie in Hampshire, Illinois. How are you?
I'm great.
Go right ahead.
Well, my daughter finished her master's degree at 26, graduated, didn't have a job, so she had to move back home. The very first day, she stood in the hallway with tears in her eyes and said, "I don't want to be here."
Aww.
And I said, "I totally agree. We really don't want you here either. We understand it's only temporary." So the only rule we really set up for her was that you can come and go as you please, clean up after yourself, and don't wake us up when you come home at night. And I think the difference is that we're treating her as an adult, not as a child anymore. And it's actually turned out really well. We all get along great, probably better than she did when she was in high school.
And that wasn't hard for you to make a transition there? You don't have little motherly impulses you have to suppress?
No, it was easy for me. Not so much for my husband.
Really?
Yeah,
why was it hard for him?
Well, he's, you know, his daddy's a little girl, and he still wanted to know where she was and who she was going with and when she'd be home and what was her work schedule, because she was working very part-time. And I just kept telling him, let it go, and he's really learned, and now he's happy and she's happy and we're all happy.
All right. Well, Susie, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Sally Coslow, do some find that transition harder than others?
Many people find it very hard because some mothers kick right back into mothering mode and really kick it up a notch, and they're worrying about, especially with daughters, their daughters driving it late at night, and they're frustrated if their kids don't let them know if they're coming home for dinner. Can they plan a family dinner? Some parents think of this as it's going to be a really cozy stroll down Sesame Street, and the kids really don't want to be with them, and so parents are disappointed. Sometimes parents disagree about how much help they should offer, and sometimes financially it's rough because the parents are dipping into their future retirement resources to help kids go back to college or to afford to give them, let's say, a car. And it's very complicated.
You talk about when do you pay? How are people making these decisions? And what do you look at when you decide, you know, should you pay for X, Y, or Z for your child, your adult child?
I think these are very personal decisions. Sometimes it's just between the parents, and sometimes it's the parents and a financial advisor who have to be very frank with them and say, you cannot, let's say, pay for law school if you're going to retire in a few years. I mean, many people in the country have lost their jobs or they've seen their portfolio seriously compromised. And as loving parents, they want to be generous, but they may have to suggest that kids take out loans. And it's very complicated.
All right. Let me remind people, you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Gabby from Placerville, California writes in, I'm very lucky as my mom gives me a lot of freedom. I make more effort to help with bills now and take on more chores and projects. I make sure to check in so she doesn't worry, but otherwise, not too many restrictions. Let's take another caller. Ian, also in Nashville. Hi, Ian.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Just wanted to call in. I might be in a little bit more unique situation, but I'm actually on very good terms with my parents. You know, love my parents with no issues there. But I'm 25, and I've moved back in with my parents. And, you know, I see it as totally different. You know, as far as new rules, I guess, you know, my parents will, a lot of times they'll want to know, you know, will I be back, or these different things, want to know where I am or going. But it's not the same way as when I was a teenager where they wanted to know because they wanted to make sure I was in different influences or whatnot. It's more of convenience of, you know, it's just politeness of them being able to know maybe when I'll be back in, or if they, you know, for example, we have animals, if I can let animals out or things like that. So it's not necessarily the same sort of parenting guidelines.
You don't take it, you don't feel intruded upon. It's more a logistical thing.
It's more like courtesy between adults that, you know, they just want to know for the sake of common courtesy and for just so that everyone's kind of on the same terms. But you know, I'm living with my parents, but they don't, you know, they don't wake me up and say, hey, it's time to go to work. They don't say, you know, it's not like they're teaching me life skills anymore. It's just a matter of, you know, adults living under the same household showing
has,
each
has
other.
Has there been any conflict, Ian? Has there been some issue where you guys have had to come to terms where one party was irking the other one or just needed to get something to change?
Well, you know, whenever there's people living in the same household, whether it's parents and children or, you know, just colleagues, people of the same age, there's going to be conflicts that come up. But I don't think that living with my parents has created any more issues than there would be if I was living with somebody, you know, somebody else also in their 20s. The same sorts of things come up, I think, and they're resolved easily. Like I said, it might be a little bit different. I feel like I'm on really good terms with my parents. I love them a whole lot. But I feel like things have gone about as smoothly as they possibly could. I was a bit apprehensive moving back in. But, you know, I think things have changed. And I think in this day and age, it's a little different. Obviously, the economy is in a rough spot, and so finding a job is difficult. But I think also I've grown up in an era where, you know, we like to always tell kids you can be whatever you want, do whatever you want, follow your heart kind of thing. And I think a lot of people are a little bit less satisfied with taking jobs that they may feel like aren't really personally motivating to them. And of course, you know, you have to take what you can get and make ends meet. But beyond that, I think people are looking for something that's a little bit more personally satisfying.
Ian, I'm going to squeeze in another phone call here, but thank you so much for calling up. Okay.
All right.
Take care.
Thank you.
Good luck. And Roger in Kansas City. Hi there.
Great. Hey, real quick comment. I've got two daughters that have graduated college. I think a lot of the deal is I expect them to participate as a family. A lot of the rules are the same. You know, their chore list is pretty much the same. They come and go, you know, with letting me know where they're going to be and when they're going to get back. I don't know whether that's because they're daughters. and I see a lot of the issue with them not being able to move out of the house is they don't have a job that's a sustainable wage.
Okay.
When I got out of college, we had high unemployment, but I was able to live on the wage that was provided.
So you have a lot of understanding there.
Yeah,
all right, Roger, we're coming up short here, so I'm going to have to let you go. But thanks for calling. Thank you, Sally Coslow. Anything you would have done differently, or any lessons learned from your perspective?
Well, there are things I did do well, I thought, which was that my kids had jobs while they were in college. I think that when my son moved back home, I would have tried to clarify what the time limit was for how long he stayed. And I wish that I had been clearer about how much time we wanted to spend together. But overall, I'm listening to some of these phone calls, and I'm wondering how the parents are feeling. We heard a lot from the young people, and I listened to this last call, the gentleman from Kansas City, and think how really very easy baby boomers had it in their life, that it was a lot easier to get a job, and it was a lot easier to afford to get on the property ladder and rent or buy. It's rough. But I wonder if the parents are as happy as the kids seem to be.
Mm. All right. Well, Sally Coslow, former editor-in-chief of McCall's Magazine and Lifetime Magazine, her latest book, Slouching Toward Adulthood, Observations from the Not-So-Empty Nest. You can find an excerpt from it at our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. Sally Coslow, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Tomorrow it is Wednesday. That means political junkie Ken Rudin will be here with all the latest. Join us for that. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Jennifer Ludden in Washington.